caring for a loved one as they get older can be a challenge, but caring for them as they start to lose their memory and senses at an older age or still young is a unique kind of challenge and one you can't really prepare for. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month, meant to start conversations about Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia and memory loss. Melanie Bishop is faculty emeritus at Prescott College, where she taught creative writing and literature. She's the author of a novel and several published works in literary magazines. Her essay called I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere appeared in the Modern Love column of the New York Times. It's about caring for a parent who suffers from dementia. Melanie, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You wrote this essay about your experience with your mother, who suffered from dementia for more than 7 years. She moved around between lots of assisted living facilities, as I think many older people do. What was her experience in these places?
Well, I would say she wasn't happy anywhere that we moved her because, you know, at that point, as with any of us, you would want to be in your home. So moving when you're already starting to feel that things are unfamiliar, even in your own home, you know, when your brain betrays you in that way, you start to not even recognize sometimes your own familiar settings. So to go somewhere totally new is just very disorienting. And then to have to move, you know, my mom moved within one assisted living. She moved from one unit to another, and then she moved from Texas to North Carolina, and then North Carolina to Arizona. So it just adds more disorienting, you know, experience to something that's already very painful and difficult.
Well, and clearly you made that decision because you thought it was best for her, but then seeing her probably feeling scared, feeling disoriented, maybe mad, probably sad. What was that like for you?
It's very hard. It's devastating. You know, you feel you're betraying your parent. And in my mom's case, it had been sort of doctor's orders. You know, she had been tested and we were told that she should not be living on her own, that she wasn't safe to use a stove or to monitor her own medications. So, you know, we had to put her in assisted living, and you have to do it against the parent's will. And there's nothing worse, you know. It's not something you want to do. And you know, in my own life, I would rather not live in assisted living either when I get to be old or if I have dementia. So it's, you know, it's just difficult any way you slice it.
In talking with people about their experiences caring for someone, for a loved one who has memory loss, there seems to be a tension between loving and remembering the person that you knew for most of their lives and probably all of yours and the person that's in front of you now. We talked with a former Wisconsin governor about his book called My Two Elaines, and it's about the Elaine that he married and had a wonderful life with and the Elaine today, and they're very different people. How do you reconcile that when the person in front of you looks in many ways the same but is very much not the same person inside?
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest parts is that, you know, you lose the parent twice. I lost my mom when I lost her to dementia, and she wasn't the same woman who had raised me. And then when she died, it's, you know, okay, then I've lost her. I've lost that woman who was more difficult, but I still wanted her around. And then, you know, you're thinking back to the mother of your childhood. So I don't know how I would say you reconcile it. I don't think you do.
We're talking with Melanie Bishop. She's faculty emeritus at Prescott College. And she wrote an essay called I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere that appeared in the Modern Love column of the New York Times. And Melanie, tell us about that title, I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere. What does that mean?
Well, When my mom lived in Arizona for 11 months, she lived very close to where my husband and I live, and I would take her out twice a week. And these were some of her better times. She liked going out, and we would be in the car, an old 92 Honda Accord, which was a car that had been hers at one time, and she sold it to me. And she felt good in that car because it was familiar, you know. And so we would drive around and do her errands or go to lunch, take her to get her hair done once a week. And she very much liked being in the car, but it was also really difficult because, you know, just getting her from the care home down the long ramp in with her walker into the car, every single step took a really long time. So you had to allow, you know, an hour to get somewhere that would normally take you 15 minutes. And so I had, those were some trying times for me, even though I liked being with her. It was, I always felt rushed and I always felt this is taking so long. And when she was gone and I still had her car, there was a time after that car had died that I was sitting in her car just to sort of tap into her. And I felt like, you know, if only she was here now, I would drive her anywhere. You know, I would be patient. I wouldn't mind how long it took her to get from the front door to the vehicle or how long it took me to get her seatbelt on her and how much she would squawk about that. So, yeah, that was just about longing and about wishing you could do something again.
You do say that every time you would be strapping her into the seatbelt, she would complain and say, "Ow, it hurts." And that's got to be hard. But on some level, you know, that it would happen every time, and that every time you would give her the same beverage and she would be excited about that. Even if they weren't always pleasant, those routines become a part of you.
And the, you know, the seatbelt thing, she would say, I can't do this. And I would say, would you like me to help you? And then she would say, yes. And then I would start helping and she would say, ow. So it was very predictable. Our times together followed a certain routine.
Well, and it's interesting because I think it was a routine for you because you had memory of the day before, the week before, the month before. But I'm guessing for her, it was a new experience every time.
Exactly.
And so both the annoyance at that you were, you know, having to strap her in that she didn't like, but also the joy of getting the beverage. What was it that you used to give her?
Boost, it's a nutritional drink.
And she would be happy to get that. So both the negative and the positive were brand new to her every time.
Yes.
Is that something that you take and embrace in other parts of your life, that it can be too easy to fall into patterns where we don't appreciate things as much as we might?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something maybe childlike about someone with dementia in that ability to, you know, everything is happening new and fresh. I mean, there was a time when my mother left, it regularly would leave, say, 15 voicemails on my home answering machine on a day I was at work teaching. And when I would say, Mom, you left me 15 messages, she said she had only left one. And, you know, she had a recollection of calling me, but only once.
We're to
So,
oh, go ahead.
no, just I, you know, I just think that there's a an innocence that to that perspective.
We're talking with Melanie Bishop right now. She's faculty emeritus at Prescott College in Arizona. Her essay about caring for her aging mother who was suffering from dementia is called I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere, and it appears in the Modern Love column in the New York Times. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced caring for a loved one, parent, or someone else while they go through memory loss like Alzheimer's or another form of dementia? What was that time like for you? What did you wish you knew before the experience? And is there a special object like Melanie's Honda that brings you back to your loved one? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up this conversation and hopefully hear from you in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our conversation with writer Melanie Bishop. She's faculty emeritus at Prescott College in Arizona, and her essay called I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere was published in the New York Times Modern Love column. We're talking about taking care of loved ones suffering from dementia. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you've gone through this or maybe are right now, call in and share your experience. What's been hard about the experience and what's really touched you? Are there reminders of the person that you like to keep around you even now? Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Melanie, I know that you've gotten a lot of responses from your essay in the New York Times. Can you share some of those responses with us?
Yeah, I'll read a couple.
Great.
Okay, one says, thank you for articulating the longing that all daughters feel in one way or another about our mothers and the fierce attachment that we have to their objects. For me, it's not a car, but an old wooden-handled fork. Whenever I can't find it, I am beside myself. Hmm. And then there's another one. My mother has been dead for 11 years, but whenever I see a Camaro, her favorite car, or hear its engine idling next to me at a stoplight, I can see her again and imagine her foot on the gas pedal as that Camaro pulls away.
And clearly your article has really resonated with people, and our conversation is resonating with people also. So let's go to the phones and bring on Michael in Green Bay. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I currently have an aunt who is, I'm sorry, I got choked up from the story that she just told.
That's fine.
About the mom with Camaro. I have an aunt who is going through dementia right now, and she's not remembering a lot of her nieces and nephews and extended family. But we obviously still have memories of her. And all we try to do is respond with a smile and ask if we can hug her and make sure that we're always happy to see her, because she's always happy, you know, whether she remembers the person or not. She puts on a smile as if she remembers them, and we just try and respond with as much happiness as we can while we still have her.
That's really lovely, Michael, and that really reminds me, Melanie, of what you were saying about that kind of innocence that develops
right
with someone with memory loss.
Yes, yeah, and that's very sweet. I mean, if she feels happy, even if she's confused, you know, that's something to celebrate, because a lot of people don't really feel happy. So that's a great story.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Michael. Let's go to Christy in northern Wisconsin now. Hi, Christy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I could talk on this subject for more than an hour. My sister and I were going to write a book about this for the time we took care of my mom. It was the best of times and the worst of times at times. You asked about advice. My best advice that I can give anybody that's going through this is do not argue with people that have dementia or memory loss. Just agree with them and don't try to correct them. My mother went for a two-year period, and she didn't put a piece of food in her mouth. Her brain forgot to eat. Mm. And leading up to that period of time, we're trying to get her to eat and trying to get her to eat, and she just couldn't do it. She ended up surviving on Ensure, or like that lady was saying, Boost.
Mm-hmm.
And she did fine. And she did fine on it. She maintained her weight. She did great on it. And then when she went into assisted living, when all the food was being cooked around her and she smelled that, all of a sudden she started eating again. It was really amazing.
Hmm. Wow.
Thank you for that, Christy. And Melanie, that's a really interesting point, and that did come, that has come up in other conversations we've had about dementias. You just have to go with it. You're not going to reason with the memory loss.
Exactly. I mean, this is someone whose brain has betrayed them, so the brain is not working like that. And to argue or to say, no, that isn't how this went, or no, you didn't do that yesterday, it's just senseless, and it only makes them more frustrated.
We're talking with Melanie Bishop about her essay called I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere, which appeared in the New York Times Modern Love column. It's about caring for a parent who suffers from dementia. Let's go back to our callers, and Matt in Oak Creek is up. Hi, Matt.
Hello. Yeah, the reason why I'm calling is, well, first of all, I want to thank you for promoting the book, My Two Elaines. That was... It is a life-changing book, especially for somebody that is dealing with someone with dementia. I cannot stress enough the last caller's point. Never argue with dementia, because you're not going to win. And again, you do make the other person or the person feel kind of off. But the reason why I'm calling is... I put my mom in assisted living about 2 years ago, and as hard as of a thing it, as it is to do, it's the best for them, and you just have to learn to deal with knowing that that's what's going to be best for them.
And Matt, as a son taking care of a mother and having to make that decision, was there anything that helped you feel at peace with a decision that I'm guessing that she resisted?
Actually, at the time that we put her in, she was kind of almost at the point where she, I wouldn't say wasn't resisting, but she, her mind was not intact enough to kind of realize where she was. The thing that really helped us out is we checked out a bunch of different places. And we found one with a memory care unit, and it made all the difference in the world, not only to me, but also my family, because it took a lot of stress off of us. But we also knew that she was being taken care of. I still get to visit her every day, and she doesn't recognize me, but I know that she enjoys the company. But, yeah, it was a hard thing, but... it's something that needs to be done for a lot of people, because stress can affect caregivers to an overwhelming point, to the point where they can become ill and actually die before the person that they're taking care of.
Yeah, and thanks for that, for all those thoughts, Matt. And as Matt was saying in the book My Two Elaines by former Wisconsin Governor Martin Schreiber, he talks about that, that as a caregiver and especially of a man, as a man of his generation, he didn't feel like he could or should ask for help, and it really took a toll on him. Melanie, how did you care for yourself as you were caring for your mother?
Well, I was just going to really agree with him that the toll that it takes on the caregiver, I think... even when you do put a parent in assisted living and they're in your town, you're still going to be very, very involved, and that can be very exhausting. So when I think about what it was like, and I only did that for 11 months, to think of having had her maybe in my own home where it would have been 24/7, I just think that that would not have been possible. And it can be really overwhelming, even when you have, you know, you're only getting together with them a couple of times a week, because it's always on your mind.
We heard from listener Susie in Verona, and she said sometimes the relationship with a parent wasn't positive in the past, maybe even abusive, and it can be tough to separate what is dementia and their personalities. And Melanie, I'm wondering if any of the responses you got from readers kind of echoed that, you know, it's not always coming out of, you know, a wonderful, loving relationship that this new dynamic develops.
Exactly. I think a lot of people have very complicated relationships with their parents before something like this happens. And so that just, you know, intensifies the whole thing. I did hear from one person who, you know, who had a lot of anger towards a parent. And then years after the parent died, was finally able to, you know, sort of forgive her. But yeah, I just think it's super complicated.
And Melanie, is it an especially strong challenge to have some kind of closure at the end of a parent's life when they don't have the same memory and treasure chest of experiences, shared experiences that you have, that you're saying goodbye to someone that doesn't remember everything that you meant to each other?
Yeah. And I didn't actually get to say goodbye to my mother. She died suddenly and was not ill. You know, she wasn't physically ill. She had had dementia for over 7 years, but there was no physical illness that we knew of, but she just collapsed one day on her way walking from the lunch table to the bathroom. And I think even though it would have been different to say goodbye to my mom as someone with dementia instead of the mom I had grown up with, I still wish so much I could have done that, because I know she would have been comforted by my presence at the end. And even though she was irritated with me most of the time, that wasn't really who she was. So I wish I could have consoled her.
Melanie, thanks so much for joining us. Melanie Bishop is faculty emeritus at Prescott College in Arizona. She wrote an essay called "I Would Have Driven Her Anywhere" that appeared in the New York Times Modern Love column. It's about caring for a parent who suffers from dementia.